The modern church is producing passionate people filled with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well. To esteem Christ, to fully esteem him, to love him, we must know him. And the soldier, the true soldier of Christ, knows his Savior and loves his Savior. And he does not serve with an empty head or an empty heart. He has a head and a heart that is filled with the knowledge and the experience of Christ through salvation and through his word. Knowing Christ and reading his word and receiving that means of grace, all these things go hand in hand with our love of Christ.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Been listening to Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I am Andrew Fitton, welcoming you today to our program. Delighted that you are joining with us. The word of God contains the truth of God, and that word is vital to you and I. We are to know it, we are to believe it, we are to stand for it. And that is the substance of our messages yesterday and today, is simply entitled Chocolate Soldiers.
This afternoon, a friend sent me this quote. He said, "The modern church is producing passionate people filled with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well." The modern church is producing passionate people filled with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well. To esteem Christ, to fully esteem him, to love him, we must know him. And the soldier, the true soldier of Christ, knows his Savior and loves his Savior. And he does not serve with an empty head or an empty heart. He has a head and a heart that is filled with the knowledge and the experience of Christ through salvation and through his word, knowing Christ and reading his word and receiving that means of grace. All these things go hand in hand with our love of Christ, knowing our Savior and esteeming him because of that love. Tonight, are you a chocolate soldier who, through all the circumstances and interests you have in life, you've forsaken that great duty of esteeming Christ? Oh, that you would love him and keep his commandments as that great show of love. And then secondly, we see that the chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in living for Christ. The chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in living for Christ. And what is this duty? We see in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And moving back to Hebrews chapter 11, we see in this passage the great acts of faith that they accomplished through the Lord and through the power of faith. We have Samuel and David and Samson, who through faith, verse 33, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. These were great acts accomplished through faith. These individuals were not chocolate soldiers. They lived for the Lord. They lived for their God. They lived for their Savior. And the Christian is to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, the things of this life pale into insignificance when we consider our Savior. This does not mean that we quit our jobs in the bank, that we no longer teach, that we no longer work perhaps in law enforcement or in mechanical work or in plumbing or building, to name but a few. This does not mean we don't work and don't own a home, not entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life. It means, 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, it means, or verse 4, it means we don't let the affairs of this world, and specifically those non-essential matters in life, entertainment and all of these things, interfere with our duty as a good soldier of Christ. We have a duty to live for him. And we feel in that duty if we are more determined to serve a different king and a different general. Sir Anthony Blunt is a name probably more known in England, in British history, several decades ago. He was a leading art historian. He was part of the Cambridge Five. And who were the Cambridge Five? Well, the Cambridge Five was aspiring that served the Soviet Union until at least the early 1950s. Sir Anthony Blunt worked as a spy for the Soviet Union during the war and into the 1950s. He was stripped of his knighthood in 1979 when his extracurricular activities, we could say, found him out, and it became public knowledge. And there was another man by the name of Kim Philby. He was a British intelligence officer, and he was also a spy for the Soviets. He defected to Moscow in 1963 and lived there until the late 80s when he died. He was a sympathizer with communism. He went down the road of betraying his country, later depicted on a Soviet postal stamp. And we get the idea, don't we? These men betrayed their nation. And they betrayed their country by living a double life, by passing on information that benefited the enemies of their country. They lived a double life with double standards. And when we think of living for the Savior, we are not to live a double life by double standards. We are either all in as a good soldier of Christ, or we are out as a chocolate soldier. There is nothing in between. Nothing in between. The chocolate soldier does not desire to live for Christ, and certainly does not desire to endure hardness for him. And there in Hebrews 11, we see this great cloud of witnesses who lived for God through faith. Will you be one of those witnesses? One of those who through faith accomplished great things, because that faith, it was a simple faith. It was a faith in which they lived and showed and displayed throughout their lives, keeping his commandments, glorifying the Savior, glorifying their God in all that they do. C.T. Studd brings our attention to Abraham. He was a simple farmer, and at a word from the invisible God, he marched with family and stock through the desert to a distant land to live among a people whose language he could neither speak nor understand. Not bad, that. But later he did even better, marching against the combined armies of five kings, flushed with recent victory to rescue one man. His army, 318 odd fellows, armed like a circus crowd, and he won. And Studd said, he always wins who sides with God. What was his secret? C.T. Studd asks. He said he was the friend of God. He lived his life for God. He knew the Lord. He lived in faith. You see, the real soldier of Christ has a duty of living for him. Are you living for him? Are you keeping his commandments? Are you walking in his ways? Are you living for him because he's your Savior and he's your King and he's your Master? Or are you a chocolate soldier who forsakes your duty in living for Christ? Thirdly, I want you to see that the chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in serving Christ. Forsakes his duty in serving Christ. Again, the soldier is to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There is to be a diligent service for the Master, the one who called him, the one who saved him. Are you serving the Savior? Are you dedicated to his cause, to praying for his work, to supporting his work, to speaking to others about their need of salvation, of seeking to be a good soldier for Christ? Daniel, Studd said, was another hero. Of course he was. And he spoke about desiring to watch him as he walks with firm step and radiant face were to the lion's den, stopping but once. God shut the mouths of the lions against Daniel, but opened them wide against those who would open their mouths against his servant. A man is known by his works, and the works of Daniel were his three friends who, rather than bow down to men or gold, braved the fiery furnace. He spoke of chocolate Demas. And Paul says about Demas, who had forsaken him. Demas, who left the apostle. And Studd refers to him as chocolate Demas. Someone who didn't stick with the apostle. Someone who gave up. He spoke of Mark, who left Paul and Barnabas and went back to Jerusalem. There in Acts chapter 13, he said that he re-enlisted in God's army and became a useful soldier again, but he had joined the chocolate brigade. He had turned aside and left them behind. And when we think of the great examples in Scripture, we think of Mark, we think of Demas. Daniel is to be our example. Daniel, who stood firm. Daniel, who was not ashamed. Daniel, who served the Lord when the command came to say, "Do not pray to anyone but the king." What did he do? He bowed the knee and he prayed, as he did aforetime, the Word of God tells us. This wasn't something he did just to annoy the king or to show that he had rights. This was something he diligently did each day. He prayed as he had aforetime, as he had done over the years. He continued to do. He stood firm in serving his Lord and his Savior. He was not a chocolate soldier. Not a chocolate soldier. Oh, we are to serve the Lord diligently. We're to put His work first. We're to serve Him with all the strength and the grace that He gives us. Because the chocolate soldier forsakes their duty in serving Christ. Oh, that we would not forsake our duty. And then fourthly and finally, the chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in standing for Christ. The chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in standing for Christ. He's to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. I should say that these are not C.T. Studd's points, these are my points. As I was thinking upon the theme of a chocolate soldier, I was thinking of this sermon and prepared the points and a lot of what is to be said, and then I read his booklet to see what he said. I remember that he had once penned a booklet on that particular theme. And so the chocolate soldier forsakes his duty in standing for Christ. And what is the spiritual soldier to do? Dear Christian, what are you to do for the Lord? You're to stand for Him. You're to stand for His word. You're to stand for His truth. We're to stand for what the Bible believes. We're to stand for the truths of the gospel of Christ. And we look at a world today, a world that has, in Christian circles, largely abandoned the truth of the gospel. There are many good churches, many churches that still preach salvation through Christ alone, but there are many who have abandoned that message. And the church is a social club. And the church is a place to come and feel good. Not a place to be convicted of sin. Not a place to hear of your need of a Savior and your duty in forsaking sin to live for Christ. The duty has been abandoned. The stand has been set aside. Those churches that once stood for Christ are now, we could say, made of chocolate. Made of chocolate. I saw a photograph recently on social media of this church, a sign of this church that was decorated. And you would think it was celebrating the end of the flood and Noah's Ark with the various colors that were on that sign, but it wasn't. It was promoting liberalism and promoting an agenda that is not found in the Word of God at all. And the date of the founding of that church was there, 1730 something, 1733 perhaps. Nearly 300 years ago when that church was founded. One of the Presbyterian churches in the United States. And if you look back at that history, there were men who stood firm, men who preached the Word of God, men who were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but now there was a change. Now the strong soldiers who preached Christ in the churches that Christ was preached in, now they're all, as we said, made of chocolate. They've melted. They're not prepared to stand for the truth of God's word anymore. And we are to have nothing to do with them. We're to come out from among them and be separate. We're to stand for what the truth of God is. They have forsaken their duty. And we must look to the Lord for grace and help that we would not forsake our duty. That we would not forsake our duty. We can think of David, the man after God's own heart, C.T. Studd said. He faced Goliath alone. He was not ashamed of the truth. He was scolded by his brother. And he refers to all those soldiers of Israel in 1 Samuel 17 as chocolate soldiers. They were not prepared to stand for the truth and stand for God and stand for the nation. We considered that a few weeks ago. What did David do? He was not made of chocolate, as C.T. Studd says. He stood firm. He saw that God's honor was at stake. He saw that God was being blasphemed and he would have no part of it. And he stood firm. And dear believer, God desires a people who will stand for Him. Who will stand for Him. In Acts 20, the apostle warns the elders of Ephesus of those who would come from within themselves, who would rise up and seek to stir a people and lead people after them. Oh, we are to serve the Lord and stand for Him and stand against those who are not of Christ and those who seek to be those chocolate soldiers that do not take that stand for Christ, whether they're family or not, or friends. God is to be first. That's the lesson here, the seriousness of the soldier of Christ. God is to be first in all things, and his word is to be first in all things. Oh, how many chocolate soldiers have melted in the face of opposition regarding spiritual issues and taking a stand for the Lord. They don't want the trouble. They don't want ill thought of. They don't want to divide their family or have members of their family ill spoken of or risk causing issues by taking a stand. They don't want to do all of those things because those things are the fire that will melt them because they're made of chocolate. When we think of the martyrs that we considered the last few weeks in the adult Sunday school, they were not chocolate soldiers. They endured hardness as a good soldier of Christ. They came close to the flame. They didn't melt. They were cast into the flame. Many of them cast into the flame. And they still didn't melt. Oh, for that same courage and conviction today. Not excuses. The chocolate soldier loves excuses and loves to bring other issues to move away from that main issue of standing for Christ. Divert attention. Try and get away with everything that's going on because they don't want to melt. They don't want to melt. We spoke in the adult Sunday school about nominal Christians, those who gave in to the demands of the persecutors. A nominal, what does that mean? They name the name of Christ, but they don't have the conviction of Christ or conviction from Christ. They name Christ. They're part of Christ's church, so they say, but deep down, they're made of chocolate. Deep down, they're not prepared, like others were, to stand for the Lord. Oh, the chocolate soldier forsakes their duty in esteeming Christ, in living for Christ, in serving Christ, in standing for Christ. Let us examine ourselves. Are we made of chocolate? Are we made of chocolate? The fear of man and the fear of this world can change our spiritual constitution to chocolate. May we seek the Lord and seek his grace that would not happen, that we would stand firm for him, that we would not be ashamed of his gospel and his word and his law. And as we close, are you a chocolate soldier, or are you a true soldier of Jesus Christ? Let us give C.T. Studd the last word. We repeat his last words from this booklet. He said, enlist. Here are your papers, an oath of allegiance. Scratch out one side and sign the other. Mark God's endorsements underneath. And there's two columns for you to sign, one or the other. Henceforth, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'll be a militant, a man of God, a gambler for Christ, a hero. Sign here. Could you sign there tonight and place your name, for me to live is Christ? Or, as C.T. Studd said, for me, chocolate, my name. Tepidity, my temperature. A malingerer, I, a child of man, a self-excuser, a humbug. Sign here. Where will you sign? Where can you truthfully sign? Is Christian your name? A true soldier of Christ? Or is chocolate your name? May the Lord speak to us tonight. May the Lord speak to us as we consider the importance of taking him seriously and standing for him. And even may what we've related about C.T. Studd and some of the humorous style that he had in writing this, and may it speak to us, and may the Lord be pleased to challenge our hearts. Is Christian your name, or is chocolate your name?
Spurgeon takes us today to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. He never deserted them, but they in cowardly fear of their lives fled from him in the very beginning of his sufferings. This is but one instructive instance of the frailty of all believers if left to themselves. They are but sheep at the best, and they flee when the wolf cometh. They had all been warned of the danger, and had promised to die rather than to leave their master, and yet they were seized with sudden panic, and took to their heels. It may be that I, at the opening of this day, have braced up my mind to bear a trial for the Lord's sake, and I imagine myself to be certain to exhibit perfect fidelity. But let me be very jealous of myself, lest, having the same evil heart of unbelief, I should depart from my Lord as the apostles did. It is one thing to promise, and quite another to perform. It would have been to their eternal honour to have stood at Jesus' side manfully. They fled from honour. May I be kept from imitating them? Where else could they have been so safe as near their master, who could presently call for 12 legions of angels? They fled from their true safety. O God, let me not play the fool also. Divine grace can make the coward brave. The smoking flax can flame forth like fire on the altar when the Lord wills it. These very apostles who were timid as hers grew to be bold as lions after the Spirit had descended upon them. And even so the Holy Spirit can make my spirit brave to confess my Lord and witness for his truth. What anguish must have filled the Saviour as he saw his friend so faithless. This was one bitter ingredient in his cup, but that cup is drained dry. Let me not put another drop in it. If I forsake my Lord, I shall crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame. Keep me, O blessed Spirit, from an end so shameful. We thank you for joining us today on Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for listening, and we trust the Word of God has been a blessing to your heart and to your soul. Do remember these programs as they go out day by day. We trust that you will join with us, and that the Word of God would indeed be used to build you up in your faith. If I can be of help or assistance, do get in touch. My details are found in the closing announcement. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.